Hello, it's Amy Booth and Jen Bosworth. We're in for John Williams this morning. Thanks for being with us today.
Hello.
720 WGN.
Super exciting. It's super exciting. It's a beautiful day.
It is really gorgeous outside. And it's not too cold. It's
no.
Kind of crisp, but nice.
It's crisp. And we're here in the studio on Michigan Avenue. And we're doing, it's like fashion Saturday.
Well, I have long said that right here in the Allstate Showcase Studio is the greatest place in the entire city of Chicago for people watching and weather watching.
I mean, this woman has a fabulous purple coat on. It's fabulous.
Oh, yeah, she does. That's a fabulous purple coat, ma'am. That's
yeah,
beautiful.
It's a great purple coat. And pink gloves to match.
Those lovely.
Are
pink. Yep.
Oh, she was happy.
She's rocking that.
Yeah, anyway, so this is a great... I mean, I got to tell you, there's some well-dressed folks around here.
It's true. But when it's super, super cold, everybody's got so much bundling happening and everybody looks unhappy. But everyone's like, it's good. I've just got my styling coat.
Yeah.
It's good. It's manageable. Jen B., okay.
Yes.
Yesterday, I was on with Rex Hupke.
Yes.
And... I don't know if you saw this on my Instagram, but there was a man that showed up and all of a sudden Rex's face is like looking out the window like, oh my God, what's happening? And I look over to the side and there's a man out there with a sign that says Guth for President. It was awesome.
Wait, that is amazing.
So I'd like to announce my candidacy.
Okay, I'll vote for you.
I've already got two people that have thrown their hat in. Like right away, my friend Nikki was like, I'll be your Biden.
Oh, I'll be your, I don't know.
Whoever.
I don't know. Secret Service.
I mean, I think it's all the rage now to, also, no, you're not doing Secret Service.
I'd be like, hello. Amy Guth will talk to you in just one second.
I'm here to sweep the area for anything dangerous.
Are you dangerous? Great.
He said he wasn't. We're good.
I trust you. Yeah, that wouldn't go well. My Secret Service stint would last about 2 seconds. But I think that sign, that what a wonderful
thing. It was nice.
Thing.
It was really fun.
Oh.
I don't know who the man was, but like thanks to that guy.
Thank you.
Yeah. And then he brought the sign to security.
Oh.
And my producer went out and got it. I mean, I was on the air. I couldn't get it. So my producer went out and got it. And I have it back in the office.
Oh,
Guth for President. That's how it all started. And he put a smiley on there.
That's nice.
So that's good. So that's going to be my campaign.
That's fantastic. If anyone wants to come down and make a sign that says Jen Bosworth for Chief of Security, I'll be happy to see that sign. Chief of Security for Guth. I mean, it's kind of a big sign. But if you want to, come down and show us.
I mean, Secretary of State. How about Ambassador to somewhere cool and beautiful?
I don't like to fly.
Right.
Does that involve flying?
Definitely involves flying.
No.
Unless it's like the Ambassador to Gary.
DeKalb.
Somewhere close by you can drive to.
Indiana. Perfect.
Perfect.
Anyway, that is a lovely story.
Anyway, that was really fun.
That's a beautiful.
That was fun.
That was yesterday?
That was yesterday afternoon.
Yeah.
So shout out to
Day after Thanksgiving.
Yeah, how was your Thanksgiving?
You know, it was really lovely.
When we last met,
it was in the middle.
2 in the morning.
And it was Thanksgiving
and
Day.
And it had just become Thanksgiving
so
Day.
So I went home, got a little shut-eye, and then I went to Fort Atkinson, Wisconsin, which is near Madison, but not quite there.
Okay. How long a drive is that? Like 3-4 hours?
Well, here's the story.
When you're driving, it's 2.
No. Miles drove.
Oh,
my husband.
So it was like 6 hours.
It was about 7.5 hours. We stopped. I'm not kidding you. We stopped. It's a 2-hour drive. We stopped 3 times. Miles cannot drive longer than, he's like, my butt cheek is just really acting up. And
he's not a sit still man.
He's not. And he's also, he gets tired after about 20 minutes.
Oh boy.
And at some point I was like, Miles, I can run faster than we're going on 94 or 90. And so it was lovely. It just took us a while to get there. Once we got there, lovely.
Yeah.
Super, super low key. I brought an appetizer and some beverages, and it was traditional. And there was only, 7 of us and family friends. I didn't have to do much, and it was delicious. And there were twin boys there. And usually it's... with my family, there's a lot of, my sister has 3 kids. And so it can be a big production with extended family and their kids. But this was quiet and
nice.
And we did something. We did a no phone night. So no one could get on their screens.
Okay.
It didn't even happen on purpose. We were just like, no phones.
Just don't do that.
Yeah.
I was talking about this yesterday on the show. My friend of mine, she was so nervous about, you know, topics that could come up.
Oh, this is a big one.
And she was hosting. So she was like, my house, my rules.
Wow.
I don't want any of this crap happening. No one's fighting at my table. We can discuss. But if you can't handle discussion, year round. So she put a little tiny white marker board up in her dining room by the little buffet cabinet. And if a topic came up and anybody like seemed uncomfortable, she would go, stop. How do we all feel about this topic? And if like, if hands went up, that meant it's out. It's on the board and we can't talk about that.
So anything that was non-discussable.
Yeah. Went on the board.
Went on the board.
Put it on the board.
Wow.
And so she was like, I felt like kind of a jerk for censoring people, but also like my house, my Thanksgiving.
You see, that's the thing. Like, it's hard when you don't know, too, that in the spur of the moment, like someone, if you have like a dark horse? I don't know. Someone, an outlier who you don't know very well, and you're like, this person could go either way.
Or in my family, like, I think I'm that person.
Okay.
I think, well, I don't know. I think my brother and I are both kind of like...
Sort of the...
Because my parents
wild
are...
Wild card. That's what I'm looking for.
Yes. Because my parents are so reluctant to discuss anything.
Okay.
Like, they would rather jump off this building than make anyone in the world even slightly uncomfortable.
I tend towards that.
So they will go to unbelievable lengths to avoid making people uncomfortable. And my brother and I are like, let's get to it. Let's talk about the things.
Yes.
And have some real talk. And so that is disastrous, which is probably why
I was going to say
the four of us have not been together for Thanksgiving in like 22 years.
Yeah. I mean, this year, especially people were, I heard a lot of people talking about what to do if these things come up.
Yeah.
These politics particularly.
Sure, sure.
I mean, that's the thing. And I was with a people that all felt the same way. So I knew that.
So did it even come up?
Nope.
No.
It was a non-issue because we all knew where we stood. Mm-hmm. And there was no question about it. We did talk a little politics, but it was mostly like, what can we do to solve these problems versus your point is wrong.
Sure. Let's talk about how you're super wrong.
Right. And I'm right.
Right. Right.
I mean, that's basically what it comes down to.
Well, you know, I was thinking about this. And I mean, a thing that I do and employ in my life anyway, and I've challenged myself just in the last couple months to be even better about this just because of the political dialogue or lack thereof or whatever, is I try not to say the word you in any kind of conversation. I'll just say I.
It's so much better.
Which is the opposite of what we're trained to think, that like if you say I, you're not being polite. Like make it about the other person.
Oh,
but I think
right.
that makes people defensive.
Yes, because you're being told what you think, what you feel, what you believe.
Or like judgment is put on what you've just said.
Right.
So I tend to just kind of say, like if someone says, I think XYZ should happen, I won't even say yes or no. I'll say, I believe da 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 da.
Right. It's just a statement.
And then just let it sit. I don't say...
Don't you agree?
So therefore, your thing is wrong. I don't even necessarily point out that our things are in conflict. I just let it sit and just see what happens.
Oh my gosh, I would lose my mind. You are very good at that. I am tend towards your parents where it's like, I'm getting better, but I don't want anyone to be mad. That's not a good thing. That's called codependence, and I'm working on that.
People won't necessarily get mad because you bring stuff up. It depends on how you land it.
No, a lot of it is my irrational belief that nobody can handle anything.
Oh, well.
Tell you how I grew up.
Few people can, to be fair. Most people cannot. Yeah. Anyway, we're going to take a little break. Amy Guth and Jen Bosworth in for John Williams, back in just a bit here on 720 WGN. 720 WGN. Hello there. It's Amy Guth and Jen Bosworth in for John Williams this morning. You can't not dance to that
song. You can't. I was dancing.
I know.
I was doing my little dance.
Chair.
My little chair
as
dance.
As much as you can dance sitting in
it's
a
like
desk
chair. Yoga. I do that as well.
Sort of.
I like chair yoga.
Oh, well, any yoga is good by me.
They have that on public access television.
Oh, I have totally come across that show. I'm like, why are they trying to? Oh, okay.
Yeah. My chair yoga turns into sleep. Just chair sleeping. So that's not good.
There are many yoga teachers on Instagram that I like to follow because sometimes they'll get creative with the pose or do a variation that will do something beneficial that I think is interesting.
Is it videos or?
No, it's just a photo.
Yeah. Okay.
I guess the thing to do is you set a camera to take a photo every like 5 seconds and you just do your yoga in the morning and then you post something that looks good. Not me. I just have a tiny little tripod. And
it's great.
Because I do like yoga challenges on Instagram a lot. Like I'm just finishing one. And I'll just set a tripod or get a friend like you to go, hey, take this picture. I'm going to do something crazy.
These are pretty amazing photos if you go to Guth's Instagram. What is it? Is it just your?
Yeah, it's just Amy Guth, G-U-T-H.
And you're verified, aren't you?
I am on Twitter. Okay. I don't know if I am on Instagram.
Now, what is being verified? You get a little blue check by your name.
Well, there's a controversy right now on Twitter about it because it used to mean we recognize your...
awesomeness?
Yeah. No, it used to be. It used to not be about like recognizing you being valuable and more about like protecting your identity. So a lot of journalists got verified because it was like, you're probably at a higher risk of getting your account hacked.
Oh.
You're willing to prove that you are who you say you are in addition, you know, in return for this extra security. So like, you have to share some documents with them.
Oh, I did not know that.
Yeah, like I
back
had to
in
prove.
The day.
Yeah, yeah.
Now what?
Back in the
it's
day.
Just if you're a celebrity.
Or
like
still,
well known.
Still, journalists will get it, you know, if you have some visibility or I celebrity or
sports. I thought it had to do
sports.
With how many friends you had.
No. There's some verified accounts with like very low follower counts.
Well, I want to be verified.
And then for a while, they kind of opened the submission process a little. You could apply sort of if you knew how to do it, you know, if it was sort of like passcode information.
They do that with Twitter as well.
That's for Twitter.
Oh. Yeah.
And then the Twitter controversy some people who, like the guy that was... the like white supremacy dude who was one of the organizers in Charlottesville got verified and Instagram or Twitter kind of lost its mind of just kind of like, well, wait a minute, why are you going to verify this guy?
Right.
And they were kind of like, well, free speech versus hate speech. And it like this big debate.
I think
erupted.
I remember this. Yep.
So they've suspended verified accounts right now. Like nobody can get verified that's not verified right now.
Wow.
Because they're sorting it out. They're like, you're right. We need to rethink.
They're figuring
this.
It out. They're trying to figure it out.
Yeah. Because they're like, you're right. It did kind of become co-opted into a thing about being important or not or whatever.
Well, that's what I thought. I mean, I thought, oh, well, you have to be famous.
No, I'm not famous.
Yes, you are.
Not really.
If someone showed up with a Goose for President sign and
okay,
you're trying
enough.
To tell me that you're not famous, someone you didn't know, it wasn't
fair
even
enough.
Like, it. For me, it would be like Miles, my husband, with a sign saying, Gen B is the best. You know? Oh.
What does that say?
Oh, our esteemed producer Camille has a sign that says Bosworth for Chief of Security. Oh.
See.
This is the best. Don't throw that
out. I need some
out.
Tape.
Oh.
I need to hang it up.
It's okay. Well, we'll get that on a break. But here's the thing. I want to take that home with me and I'll just put it so I can see it. So I know that I'm your chief of security so I don't forget.
And we'll get a picture of my sign and yours and put it in. That's like now we have campaign collateral.
Yes, we do. Put it on eBay. Hi.
Good time. Hi, nice people outside.
Hi, nice people. Wow, it's a gaggle.
It is a gaggle of people outside. So we were talking about holiday
yes.
stuff.
Yes.
And, you know, I think we got to go to break here in a little bit. But
okay.
I want to talk about this because I think that generally speaking, in many, many houses, most of the holiday prep tends to fall on women.
Agreed.
You know.
In most houses. Yep.
I mean, I kind of love that stuff. I love to cook.
I know, it's
very relaxing for me and that's very chill. But I know it's very stressful for a lot of people.
For me, yes.
You have mentioned it is very stressful to you. And so I think about that. Like, wouldn't it make sense that the person who's the most chill about it in the house and enjoys it the most do that? But it's complicated.
It gets complicated.
There are roles.
But I think that would be ideal because then people would be happy instead
yeah.
of completely stressed out. And, you know, I've had some experiences where I have not enjoyed my holiday because
right.
I am too busy trying to. And that goes back to what I was saying about people pleasing. It really does.
Okay.
About my wanting everyone to be happy. And here's the big news flash. That is never going to happen because
oh, no.
I have no control over other people, which is
correct.
Shocking.
Correct.
Which is shocking.
Breaking news. You have no control over other people.
Right. Breaking news.
Yeah.
Gen B cannot control the world.
So in your house growing up, what was like the Thanksgiving tradition?
My mother would do everything and be angry and resentful the whole time.
Oh, really?
It would start a couple weeks before a holiday. Could be Christmas, could be Thanksgiving. And she would get angry and throw things around like the Christmas decorations. She would swear profusely and just be miserable. But she would do it.
Mm.
So there's this martyr thing that would
I
go
see.
On.
Yeah, yeah.
So
I think that happens in a lot of houses. Yeah. Yeah.
So I inherited a little bit of that.
Okay.
Mixed with my father who did nothing. So there's a part of me that wants to do nothing. And then there's another part of me that's like, I have to do everything. It's extremes. I do not have a Zen-like approach to this sort of thing.
Hmm.
It does not, which is sad. Which is also something I need to work on. And that's why Thanksgiving was lovely. I really did nothing except...
You just got to enjoy it.
Buy a cheese log.
Buy a cheese log?
Yeah, I bought a cheese log.
I don't even know what a cheese log is. This is like the rolled in pecan situation.
No. That's delicious.
Yeah.
That's like a cheddar cheese.
Yeah.
The Merck's or whatever. This was a goat cheese.
Oh, those are good.
Surrounded by cranberry.
I like a good goat cheese.
I do too. Who doesn't?
I'm sure somebody,
yeah,
but
well,
nobody that we know.
They aren't going to be in our campaign trail.
In our presidential
they
campaign.
They can't go on our trail. Well, That was weird. But
see, for me in my house, because my dad was in the restaurant business, right. It was like a fun and special work day because he was always working. We always lived kind of next door to the restaurant.
Okay.
But it was always fun and it was fancy and the restaurant was all decorated. Aww. And so it was kind of fun. And then, it was all just kind of like all hands on deck. So until I was about...
Did you work?
Well, when I was a kid, it was just kind of like fun to see.
Right.
Or I'd like sit in the chef's office and just watch all the...
Activity.
Watch all the activity. And it was so fun and interesting and everybody seemed kind of festive. And then when I got old enough to work, in that particular state, you could be 14 and have a job. So it was like the day after my 14th birthday.
That's how I was here. But
you have a job
16,
now.
Yep.
So it was like then I got to go and bus tables and help and kind of, you know, and you would wear the uniform. And it was
that sounds
cool.
Fun.
So it was really fun. So maybe that's why I think that kind of stuff is fun.
I need more fun in my life. Talk about that
later.
Oh,
we all do. But yeah, sure. But I think so. Like we would have a family meal later.
But it was not a huge deal. You said that the other night it wasn't like you would like have a low key situation.
Definitely low key.
Which is great.
Definitely low key. Yeah. And it would be like, here's some stuff from the restaurant and then maybe there'd be something we cooked extra. But then it would just be like low key the four of us.
That's awesome.
Easy peasy stuff.
Easy peasy.
It's all about that, really. Okay. Amy Guth, Jen Bosworth, in for John Williams. We're going to take a little break, get you to news, all that good stuff. Back in just a bit here on 720 WGN. 720 WGN. Hey there. It's Amy Guth and Jen Bosworth. We're in for John Williams this morning. Thanks for being with us. Always grateful to you for sharing part of your Saturday with us.
It's a beautiful Saturday.
It is. And it's a chill one because it's right after the Thanksgiving holiday. And everybody's kind of, I mean, it was real busy out here yesterday. There was a protest and there was also just a lot of people out shopping, but not that many people. Like it wasn't,
you know, I think a lot of people, my friend at Starbucks who works here was telling me that a lot of people were protesting
Starbucks
Black Friday.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. Yeah. A lot of people were like, just
no, stay home. I mean, I didn't hear the stories about people being trampled.
I know, because normally that's kind of the lead story where people get killed because a door falls open in a Walmart. Or
pushing people over for a flat screen TV. I don't know. It doesn't seem worth it to me.
No, none of it does. It's an object. It's an item. We can't take any of this crap with us.
No, we really can't.
We can't. We might as well if we have money to help other people, we should.
Yep.
And I cannot imagine any deal on any product ever that would make me.
I'm trying to think. Let's think. Is there anything I would look if there was a shortage of lavender oil?
Okay. If essential oils, there's just a couple left.
Nah, I wouldn't even do that.
No, even then. I'd be like, whatever.
No, I'd be like, you know what? I'm going to grow my own lavender.
Right.
But there, you know, people like things.
People like things.
I mean, that's just the way it is. Mm-hmm. So we were talking about self-care a little bit.
Yeah. And a little bit about...
How to handle the
stress of this time of year. Because for different reasons, it can be stressful in different ways. Because I think travel is very stressful for some people. Crowds are very stressful.
Money. It brings up money issues.
Money is a huge one.
I mean, it's people go into debt on credit cards during this time of year.
Yeah.
Someone was saying that they read something about it was the average is $10,000.
What? No.
Yeah.
For kids,
for family stuff, yeah.
There is no way. 10,000?
It was something crazy.
Get out of here.
Could that be?
No way. $10,000?
Maybe it was $5,000. It was something crazy.
Like $1,000, maybe.
No, because some people spend $1,000 on each kid.
What?
Yeah. Where have you been, Guth? This is
over here celebrating
era.
Hanukkah like a chump, that's apparently.
True. Well, that's true. I'm not spending $1,000 on anybody, I got to tell you. I can't do it.
No.
I know. So credit card debt, so that's stressful.
And also, debt is relative, or expensive is relative.
It's true.
You know what I mean? Like,
oh, sure. So
50
for some
bucks
people,
could be really hard to come
that
up
is
for somebody.
So true.
And 500.
Nothing is worth for me, you know, go. I mean, again, I like to people to be happy and I love giving gifts, but I've changed my sort of thinking on what giving means.
Sure.
And so while it's nice to give an expensive gift once in a while that I know someone will love, it doesn't have to be the norm for every price tag. Doesn't
you know
have to be for
I feel
every
like
gift.
People have enough stuff in their lives.
Most people.
So I like to give gifts that make a difference or that's use upable.
Yeah, right. You know what? I as I get older, I'm like, I need a vacuum. If you know, to my sister and her family, I'm like, if you want to get me anything, give me a vacuum. They're not the cheapest. You know, no. They're not inexpensive. And they will make my house better, which will make me feel better. So please, last year it was a dustbuster.
Now it's just getting bigger.
It is getting bigger. I am growing.
Next year you're going to want a shop vac or something.
A shop vac. Next year I want a shop vac. A wet shop vac.
Yeah, so in
case there's any water flooding.
Spilling happening. You got it covered.
Yeah, right.
I don't even own a vacuum, but I only have a couple of little area rugs. And I just sweep them.
You sweep the rug?
Yeah.
Does it work?
Yeah.
Not if you have a shag carpet.
If you do it vigorously. Yes. It's a workout.
It's a workout. So I get you. But yeah, it is. It can be very stressful this time of year. And for different, like you said, for different reasons.
Yeah.
Family, a lot of, if there's family strife, if you have a history of depression and somehow it gets triggered over the holidays, if you've lost a loved one over the holidays and that the anniversary, for me, it's hard because I lost my parents and that gets triggered.
Wait, the anniversary of that is this time of year?
No, but yeah, for my mom.
Okay.
Yeah. So my dad, it was spring, but my mom was right before Thanksgiving. And so
I think even if the anniversary doesn't fall then, I think it's still kind of like, I'm thinking of so-and-so this time of year.
Yes, because as miserable in some ways as my mother was about the holidays, we still laughed and we listened to weird music and we would make fun of, you know, like ourselves and how we love to hate the holidays. So, mm-hmm. you know, it's stressful for a lot of reasons. And I think you brought up a good point about women and the holidays where...
We tend to take on.
We just do. Yeah. We just do. We tend to take on a lot. And
I think generally in life.
Well, right. And then for me anyway, and noticing in my family, we tend, at least I do, not to ask for help. Oh. That is the big thing too. It's like asking for help is, it's not so much weak for me, but it's like I will burden, I should all over myself, which is...
I love that.
Yeah, I should all over myself and say, that was should. And say, I should be able to handle this on my own.
Yeah.
And here's the thing. Another newsflash.
Yeah.
Nobody can handle everything.
Nobody can do everything.
No, it's not possible.
I have a friend that, what's her expression? She says, I can do anything, but I can't do everything.
Right.
Which is a key distinction there.
Yeah.
Like I can do it all, but I can't do everything at the same time.
So, yeah.
But I think here's the thing with holidays, the pace of it sometimes gets us like there's not really. I know a lot of people are already. I talked to a friend of mine yesterday and she said, well, I'm stressed out and my shoulder's killing me. You know what? I'll deal with it in the new year. I'm like, what? That's a month away.
And it's a long time to go.
Yeah.
Being stressed out. I mean, it's not good for us. And the way it manifests for me is migraine headaches, unfortunately.
Those are the worst. I used to get very bad migraines and that's debilitating. Like you can't do anything
else. People
think,
oh, it's just a headache. It'll pass.
Power through. Mm.
No. And I've tried. And yesterday I had one. And luckily for me, there have been things that worked. But when I'm without them or my self-care.
Wait, you had a migraine yesterday?
Yeah, it was really bad. It was really bad.
Are yours like you got to sleep them off?
Mine is like this. I have to sit still in one place in the dark and try not to get sick to my stomach.
Yeah.
Or I do get sick to my stomach. Try not to have to, you know.
And, do anything about it.
Right. And I have to just quiet and I visualize the capillaries in my head shutting down because that's when they... dilate, that's when you get a migraine.
Oh, I thought it was the opposite.
No. Okay. You want them to close. They're too open. So you want them to close. So I have to do all this stuff and take medicine and stop what I'm doing. But I tried yesterday to power through. I had things to do. We were traveling back and it was a mistake. And I thought to myself, wow, this is my body's way of saying stop.
Yeah.
Sit down.
Absolutely. And I think the older that, at least for me, the older I get, the more my body is better at regulating that and making me just go, stop, sit down. Because now if I don't, like if I'm, I people always laugh when they hear this, but I'm really an introvert at the end of the day. And that doesn't mean shy.
Right.
That's what people think that means. It doesn't mean shy. There's not a shy bone.
Alone time to recharge.
It's right. It means my battery gets depleted when I'm out being social.
Right.
Weirdly, radio doesn't feel social to me because it's just you and I are just sitting here
having a conversation. We're just
talking. So that doesn't feel depleting. But if I'm like out and going to an event, like last week or week before last, I had to go to 4 events and they were all really fun and they were great. But at the end of the day, I was like, I have a sore throat. I need to sleep for 3 days. I'm so, like, I was just really...
You needed to recharge in a big way.
And even just, like, the mental energy to respond to an email seemed like too much.
And that's how you know.
That's how I know that I'm just like, nope, you gotta chill, Guth, you know?
Agreed. Yeah. Agreed. You got, I think listening to our bodies and listening to when we want, you know, when we need something and saying, I need help and I need...
Okay, let me ask you this. Yeah. How can we help people, but especially women, be better about that?
That's a great
How can
question.
We as women help other women? Because I think, I don't mean you and I mean all women. Right. Here. Because I think that is a thing for a lot of people.
Mm-hmm.
I know it's, I don't, and I'm like you, sometimes it's hard for me to ask for help because I don't want to be a pain in the butt.
Right. I don't want to be a burden.
It's not that I feel like, oh, I can't do it all. It's like, I just don't want to bother anybody.
Right. And there, for me, there's another part that's like, if you want something done right, do it yourself. That's my mom's motto.
I used to think that, but now I'm like, I wouldn't
it's
ask.
It's changing for
I
me.
I wouldn't ask somebody if I thought they would screw it up.
Right. You know I mean? Think you, that is a better way of looking at it.
Just don't be friends with incompetent people.
Well, that's a whole nother. that's a whole nother. Cut those people right out of your life. Just get
you
rid of
them.
You
are real bad at this. We can't be friends anymore.
Yeah,
right. So, I mean, you know, you wouldn't ask, you know, you would ask a more detailed person to do I need help with setting
sure.
this table.
Well, I think that's what I think specificity is important. So like if I feel stressed out about a certain thing, let's say a party, if I call you, who I know is going to be more meditative about the whole process.
Oh, I'd be excited.
Well,
that's great.
Yeah. So it's actually fun for you.
Oh, yeah.
Then I know. But it's like knowing what specific help to get. Sometimes I get to the point where I'm so overwhelmed and then I get a migraine.
Yeah. But you said you take something for a migraine.
I do, and it helps, but it doesn't always help completely.
See, those made me sicker. I haven't had a migraine, knock on wood, in like 2 years.
Oh, that's wonderful.
I knew nothing about acupuncture, but I was really desperate because migraine medication made me sicker.
You can't. And you can't deal with the pain.
No, I was getting them about like twice a year.
Yeah.
And it would take 3 or 4 days to get over one because my head would be sore and my neck and shoulders. It would be painful for a couple of days. That's why I asked with surprise. You had one yesterday because you seem okay.
It's because
right
of
now.
The medication works for me.
Okay.
I'm groggy, but I'm fine. I still want to be the... Please don't make this eliminate me from being chief of security.
It will not.
My medical problems.
I will not at all eliminate you from being chief of security in the Guth administration. I'm still iffy on that because I don't think I want that job, but hey, whatever.
Wow.
So far, people are volunteering. I got a good team.
You have
so
a team.
Far.
Come on.
Because I know, unlike other presidents, I know that if you have a knowledge gap, you just fill it in with people who don't have that gap.
Exactly.
Anyway, we're not going political today.
Okay.
Amy Guth, Jen Bosworth, in for John Williams, back in just a bit here on 720 WGN. 720 WGN. Hey there, it's Amy Guth and Jen Bosworth. We are dancing very much to this song. It is a fine song.
It's a fine song.
I love this song. Good job, Camille.
Yay,
good one.
Esteemed producer.
Esteemed producer, Camille.
I got that from you.
I know what I'm saying.
Esteemed producer.
We were talking before the break about migraines, particularly like this time of year. Well, here's the thing. Migraines are weird and a lot of things can trigger them. I often, I haven't really had one in 2 years, a full-blown one in about 2 years, but I can still, there's that feeling.
Yes.
Migraine sufferers, you know what I'm talking about. It's a thing back in your head. You go,
yes.
Oh no, there it is.
It's like, for me, it's a little burning and it's a little dull. Pain.
It's a dull pain
gets
in the middle of your brain, and you go, oh, my God.
Last night, it felt like someone was taking a screwdriver
Oof.
At odd intervals and jamming it into my head. It was horrible.
Doesn't sound good.
No. So what I know to do now is usually if I take the medicine before when I feel that little feeling, it works. The medicine makes me weirded out, and it's hard. It's spaced out.
Okay.
A little sweaty. It's not the best, but it's better than the screwdriver in the head.
I think most things are.
Yeah. Right. So I know how to deal with them. But the thing is, a lot of people, I was reading this, 3 out of 4 migraine sufferers are women. And 26 million people describe themselves as migraine sufferers in this country.
26 million. That's a ton of people.
That's a lot of people. Yeah. And so we've got a problem. I mean, that's, and a lot of times they think it's
food-based. Do we think that number's going up?
Oh, sure.
Yeah. Because our lives are stressful.
And they're getting more stressful.
There's a lot of pressure on lives. To
yeah.
Me. Yeah. They are food-based. Mine is mozzarella.
They do say certain cheeses. And some people it's mozzarella. Some it's blue cheese.
Yeah. I know someone has a blue cheese, but mozzarella is fine for her. Blue cheese is fine in moderate.
Yeah.
Like if I were to sit down and eat a whole thing of blue cheese.
Well, that's weird in itself.
I'd probably regret that on several levels, but yeah. That would be migraine triggering for me. But mozzarella, it takes very little.
So no pizza?
No.
You're not a pizza person.
Well, I can. There are places.
Goat cheese.
Goat cheese. Pizza. What I think the best substitute is I'll just ask for it with provolone instead of mozzarella.
Oh, they can do that?
Yeah.
Hey, look at that.
Some places. Some people will go, we don't do that. Mozzarella goes on pizza. Like if they're really purist about
it. You're like, I will die of a headache. So great. Forget it.
But even if I were to get a pizza with mozzarella, pull the cheese off and eat just the crust, I would still get a migraine.
Yeah, so you're not a string cheese lover.
No, but I think it looks really neat when you guys eat it.
You guys.
Meaning all of the rest of you in the world.
For me, if I don't eat in the morning, then I'm more prone. Like I have to have something in the morning. And if I don't drink enough water.
Yeah.
And too much sugar. I mean, there's so many things.
Yeah, water is a big one for me.
If I ever try to go off caffeine, oh my gosh. The withdrawal is migraine city.
Mm-hmm.
So I need caffeine. There's all kinds of stuff.
Yeah.
And if I don't. My medicine works. If I don't travel with my medicine, it's bad.
Because
then I'm in bed.
Yeah. I have one little pill that'll kind of take the edge off if I grab it early. But if I don't.
Forget it.
It doesn't work. And
you
makes
said
me
the medicine makes you sick to your stomach.
Yeah. Even like Excedrin migraine makes me real sick. So I'm worse off with that.
Really?
Yeah.
It's so funny. We have to know our bodies because everyone's not the same. But here's the thing. I was reading that, majority of women do not seek any medical attention.
Well, there's
many things, but also for headaches.
Because we're told it's in our heads.
Yeah.
No pun intended.
Right.
Like we're told it's probably PMS. You're like, well, that's not this week.
But also, even if it is,
it's still a
real
thing.
Right. So it's like taking our pain seriously and advocating for ourselves even when other people don't take it seriously.
Yeah.
So I've had these since I was 5.
Me too. I was in the first grade when I had the first one.
Me too.
Mm-hmm. I was in the first grade. I remember it very, very clearly because I had been to a party and they had
mozzarella.
They had pizza. They had chocolate cake.
Oh my
And
gosh.
Like it's in a lot of different preparations of chocolate. This particular triggering enzyme is in there.
I had no idea.
It's in some red wines if it's been sitting.
There's no way.
The silt, the sediment at the bottom, like the older vintage wines, like those will do it sometimes. Sometimes cooked salmon will have
really?
It. So I had been to this party, a friend's house, and we had pizza and chocolate cake. And I got really, really sick at home, and my parents didn't know what in the heck. My dad gets migraines, but they present in a very different way.
Sure.
So they took me to the emergency room. I got x-rays and CAT scans. They thought I had like a brain tumor.
MRI,
or Yeah. They did all this stuff. And then finally they were just like, this may be a migraine. You need to check this out. And so we started.
Like a food allergy thing?
The food allergy part didn't come along until I was an adult. When I started going, I need to figure this out. I can't just have these hijacking my life. So yeah, that came up later.
Wow.
But I think, in desperation, I tried acupuncture and I really found a person I really liked who she takes people. When you feel the beginning of a migraine, she will
call you, see you.
She'll see you. And she's got a room without windows in it and it's pitch black dark. And she'll
put all these.
And it was a really interesting thing. I was just at this point, I was like, I don't know if acupuncture works. I don't like needles, but I'm desperate. And she put 4 little tiny needles on the outside edge of my pinky. And a couple on top of my head.
And did it?
I was out like a light. And I woke up about 30 minutes later. I feel like I had a whole night's sleep. I still had a headache, but it wasn't as bad.
It wasn't debilitating.
No, it was enough that I could get
through the day.
I could the bus seemed like a lot, but I got into a taxi and got home and then laid down, took a nap, and I woke up and it was okay. I still had my head was sore the next day, but I was,
functioning.
I was okay. We have to take a break here in a second, but I want to talk with Eric. Hi, Eric. You're on WGN. You get migraines too?
Yes, ma'am. How are you?
Good. How are you?
Good. I take Varicet and I have to put which knocks me out, but I have to put blankets and stuff over the TV screen, any lights, any, no noise. It's just totally
silent.
Yeah. Like I can't. And then sometimes if they're really bad, I'll throw up with them.
Me too.
And it's no, thank you. And the movement in a vehicle, that's another thing.
Yesterday. And also trying to drive. That's not good.
Oh, Well, see, I can't see, so I don't drive.
Yeah, no, I can see.
But yeah, the driving part could be good. But the motion, just the motion of back and forth, you know, and it's like, we got to pull over.
Yeah.
And so, Eric, is your migraine, do you know what brings them on for you? Is it food trigger or environment or barometer or anything?
Mine is most likely it's either weather. Every time the weather changes.
Yeah.
And it's really bad because it's like, okay, the weather's changing. Mom goes, uh-oh, here we go.
Yep.
Yeah. How long have you had them?
I'm going to say a couple of years. I just now finally had a neurologist that finally diagnosed them.
Yeah.
Okay.
And it was my seizure doctor.
Oh, interesting. Isn't that interesting?
You would have thought my regular doctor would have.
No, yeah. there's very few people that know a lot about migraines. Like it's sort of a mystery to a lot of doctors. There's neurologists now are really studying them, but for years they didn't know.
My doctor basically said, "Okay, this is what it is, and this is what I'm giving you."
Yeah, okay, and you feel like that's helping? That's helpful to you?
It helps, you know. And if it gets really, because at one point it got so bad, I will wake you up at night and go take me to the hospital.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's the worst. You know, now sometimes they're offering, like they suggest Botox.
Yeah.
But Eric, thank you so much for the call. We got to get to break, unfortunately, but I appreciate the call and I hope that you take care of that head.
Take care of your head.
You too.
All right. Take care. Bye. Yeah. I mean, it's so interesting because it's so different for everybody and every migraine is so different. Anyway, we got to get to break, get you the news, all that good stuff. Back in just a bit here on 720 WGN. 720 WGN. Hey there. It's Amy Guth and Jen Bosworth in for John Williams this morning.
We sure are.
Yeah, we are. That was awesome. Well, so we have been talking about all kinds of things, but I want to switch gears a little bit this morning because there is a new book out that I'm so very, very interested in. And it's from our friends at the Poetry Foundation, which is it's a great organization and a very cool building. If you've never even...
I've never been there.
It's really close to here. It's right here in River North. It's this beautiful modern building, but there's... you just have to walk by it. It's very beautiful, the poetry building. Anyway, there is a book called Who Reads Poetry? 50 Views from Poetry Magazine. And really, we think about poetry as being sometimes a bit of an insulated topic, right?
Agreed.
That poets are into it and other poets are into it.
And people really love poetry.
Really love poetry. But really what's different about this book is that it's about poetry by the people who read it, not just about poets.
That's fantastic.
So joining us to talk about that is the editor of Poetry Magazine, Don Scher. Hi, Don. Thanks so much for being with us today.
Hi, great. It's great to talk to you guys.
So tell us about the origin of this book and how you came up with the idea of having readers of poetry talk about poetry rather than the poets themselves.
Well, as you know, Poetry Magazine's been around right here in Chicago for 105 years. And so this is something we think about all the time. In a certain way, Poetry Magazine was invented over a century ago because there were so many people who read it and care about it. And I think there's a perception, you guys just sort of mentioned it a little bit, that, you know, poetry is hard or it's complicated or it's for other poets and all that stuff. And, of course, at the magazine, what we know and our readers know is it isn't true. Poetry's for everybody. And this book is called Who Reads Poetry? But there's no question mark at the end of it because it isn't a question. Who reads poetry is the answer to a question. So the book tells you who reads poetry. And it's a feature we started in the magazine, which Fred Sasaki has been running all this time from 2005 to the current day. And we just sort of talk to people and say, you know, who reads poetry? Do you read poetry? And it turns out the answer is everybody. But these pieces are from soldiers, doctors, you know, people like iron workers, economists, anthropologists, and also, you know, people that wouldn't surprise you, musicians and artists and philosophers. So really what we just keep going around doing is, we meet people and say, hey, you know, are you a reader of poetry? And they'll tell us that they read poetry, but they probably don't tell their friends and neighbors. Very personal thing. So this feature was invented to give them a voice instead of have poets kind of talk about what they do and defend their own kind of practice.
Right. And so when you pose that question to people, does it take them a minute? Because I think sometimes poetry takes so many different forms that we don't think about. We think of poetry as being one thing, but in fact, it's really kind of everywhere.
Exactly. It's everywhere. I'll give you my favorite recent example. But over the summer, I had to go to the doctor, and I had a cardiologist who was looking me over, and I was pretty nervous about that. But you know how doctors will always say, you know, so what do? To try to, like, put you at ease and get a little conversation going. So this cardiologist said to me, well, what do? And I said, well, I work at the Poetry Foundation, and I edit Poetry Magazine. The guy said, I have a poet right here on my arm. It's a tattoo. You want to see it? So, to be honest, people come right out with it. It's just, I think it doesn't come up, you know, in everyday conversation the way, you know, like sports does or movies or a good restaurant. But people care about it in exactly the same way. It's just more personal. So what I found is that people right away will tell you that they're interested in poetry. I've had conversations like that with, you know, people who cut my hair and people that I'm sitting next to on the L, everywhere. It's really kind of great.
We're talking with Don Scher, the editor of Poetry Magazine, about who reads poetry, 50 views from Poetry Magazine. And so as you were gathering these stories, Don, what was really surprising to you, or what maybe challenged the dominant thinking about poetry?
I think the thing that's very striking, because all of the pieces and all the viewpoints are as individual and personal and heartfelt as each of us, you know, can be when we talk about things that mean a lot to us. I think what surprised me is just how very deep-rooted it is. You know, I was very struck by, for instance, the fact that one of our pieces was by Lieutenant General William James Lennox, Jr., and he was superintendent of West Point, the United States Military Academy at West Point. And he said a very interesting thing that I think about all the time when I hear the news, especially these days. And he said, like warfare, poetry can result from the collision between romance and reality. So to me, what was sort of interesting was that people would say very deep and surprising stuff. You know, I always feel like, you know, in my end of things, I know a lot about poetry, and I sometimes feel like I've heard all the things people say about it. And then people from different walks of life will say really, really cool and interesting things. For instance, one of the guys that we had do a piece is an economist, Stephen Ziliak. And he said, you know, poetry is his first stop on the way to invention. He says that economics is the discovery of metaphors. You know, he says poetry is all about economy in the sense of efficiency. And he said, just think about haiku. It's got like a budget of 3 lines. I mean, I thought that was brilliant. You know, and he's looking for the invisible hand that guides how we spend money and what economics is. And he thinks of poetry when he does that. So everywhere we go, talking to all these different kinds of individuals who work in many different fields, poetry sort of is a metaphor for them to think about what they do and how they think about the world. It also, of course, helps people think about their feelings. You know, so we talked to a few people who are psychiatrists. And, you know, of course, they'll say, as Kay Redfield Jameson did, who's a professor of psychiatry at the Johns Hopkins School of Medicine.
Great book.
You know, and so she says in our book, she just had a book about Robert Lowell, the poet who, mm-hmm. you know, was very, you know, had a lot of mental illness mm-hmm. Issues in his life. And she said for us that even she herself, she says, I found a kind of solace in poetry that I cannot find elsewhere.
Wow.
So it affects so many people differently. But it's wonderful to hear.
I was going to say, my first introduction to poetry, well, two things, was hip-hop music.
Right.
And so I would read the lyrics, and I just thought, oh, this is poetry. And E.E. Cummings. So E.E. Cummings was taught to us, and the way, obviously, the way the words are written on the page and the lack of capitalization really struck me as, oh, poetry doesn't have to look a certain way on the page. You know, because I was like, oh, everything, things have to rhyme when I was little. And then when I was introduced to two things, the hip hop lyrics and E.E. Cummings, I was like, oh, poetry can look a million different ways.
That's definitely true. You're absolutely right. And I think what's really exciting is that some of our, you know, most wonderful rap artists, especially here in Chicago, are people who are also poets. So I'm thinking of Jamila Woods and Chance the Rapper, and also Rhymefest, who's a Grammy and Academy Award winner, and he wrote a piece for our book, and he says, basically, my mother was a poem written by Gwendolyn Brooks.
Oh,
so you're absolutely right. I mean, you know, poetry can be all kinds of things and has sounds and sort of textures that are really as ingenious as the people who come up with them.
That's so true. I've talked about that on the show before, about hip-hop, really this underappreciated genre of poetry that is so unique and so beautiful. So you have an event coming up. I want to make sure that we talk about that. It is the release party for this lovely book on the 29th, correct?
That's right. It's Wednesday, November 29th at 7 o'clock at the Poetry Foundation building that you so graciously described as beautiful. We think so, too. And it's free and open to the public. And if you come, it's sort of a party, but we've also got a few of the people in the book. So Natalie Moore, a lot of Chicago listeners will know her work,
yeah.
And Gia Tolentino, who writes for The New Yorker, and Omar Khalif, who's a museum curator. But also we have John Corbett, who's going to DJ, and we're going to have, music, libations, and of course we'll be selling the book at a great discount for our visitors.
Wonderful. And the Poetry Foundation is at 61 West Superior. That event is Wednesday night at 7 p.m. You can find out about it at poetryfoundation.org. Don Scher, thanks so much for being with us today.
Thank you so much.
All right. We'll see you at the event.
You bet.
All right. Bye-bye.
Okay, bye.
We are going to take a little break. Back in just a bit, Amy Guth and Jen Bosworth here on 720 WGN. 720 WGN. Hi there, it's Amy Guth and Jen Bosworth. We're in for John Williams today. Coming up at 12, I'm going to stick around. Sadly, Jen is leaving us. I'm going to do the Wintrust business lunch. You're welcome to stay, I keep telling you.
My favorite thing to say today is, yeah, you are.
Yeah, you are. That's kind of a you thing anyway.
Yeah, you are.
Hey, so I cannot believe we're almost out of November's.
We are, and we're then after December's. 2018.
This year went.
It really did.
Every year I say this year went by so fast, but for real, this year.
For real.
I still feel like I'm settling into 2017.
Well, I still feel like it's June for me.
Oh, I still feel like it's right after the inauguration.
Well, all right.
I still feel like we're just settling into the new presidency.
To the new
I've
normal.
Been like following. Yeah. However, I don't know about you.
Yeah.
I really enjoyed New Year's Eve, not because of the crowds. I don't like crowds. Not because of the drunken antics, because I don't like that. I really like the sense that people have of a fresh start.
Agreed.
That like anybody, I mean, you can do that every day. Any day can be a fresh start. But I really like the idea. So many people feel like this year I will do something different. I will do something better. And sure, most people drop off their New Year's resolutions.
Sure.
But
there's hope. That's
yeah,
the thing.
There's like a renewed sense of hope for New Year's that I think is lovely.
I've already made my vision board.
Awesome.
I make vision boards.
Yeah, those are cool.
I love it. So a vision board is basically what you would like to have happen, or if you're going to get real woo woo, what you'd like to manifest. Mine was all about abundance.
Okay.
So financial abundance.
So when you have
health,
lots of
abundance.
Riches, can I hit you up for some cash?
Sure, but
great.
You're going to be president of the United States of America.
Says the one dude with the sign outside.
That's fine. He knows. He's manifesting that for
he's
you.
He's made a vision board for me.
For you. That's kind of weird, but
sure,
if you wanted to do that, that's also, got to be honest, called a stalker. But that's okay. Ransom note. But anyway, I do. I believe in starting over.
I do too.
And you can do it every day, but it's nice at the beginning or the end of a year to sort of reset.
Yeah. So do you have like rituals or anything that you do? Okay, so you do your vision board.
I do a vision board, and then I'll light a candle, and then I'll meditate a little bit.
That's New Year's Eve.
Yeah.
Okay.
And I'm not a big, I don't drink and I don't, so I'm not a big partier.
No.
So it's a nice way to have a self-care night.
Yeah. I like a good night in on New Year's. Like, it's fun to maybe go to someone's house, but a small group.
A house, little house party. A small one.
You could not pay me enough to go to some big crowded thing.
I'm trying to think of the last time I went to one of those. I have
It's been years.
Me too.
Yeah,
probably
I have no
15
idea.
Years.
Yeah.
And it's always like $100 and you get a toast, but it's crowded. I'm not a crowds person either.
I don't like crowds. The thing I am a little I'm not terribly superstitious, but the thing I am superstitious about is the condition of my house and life on New Year's Eve. I feel like it sets the tone for the year. So I will clean that house top to bottom. I have started this week. It starts right after Thanksgiving.
Oh, because I'm like, what day? You're really getting ready early.
I mean, I'm up on the cabinets. I have cleaned the top of the cabinets off very clean, nice. I pull all the dishes and all the crap out of the cabinets.
You pull the stuff out.
Wash it down. Oh, yeah. I clean everything. So
you
I feel
are not
like
messing around.
It is. I want double super fresh start. If I get a fresh start, I want to do it.
Wow, you're really going for it. Yeah. And I do think a clean home and living and sleeping environment is very important.
Yeah, I mean, and you know, people who know me know that I'm like maybe a little nutty about cleaning.
Oh, you are?
I'm not a germaphobe. I'm not like OCD about it, but
everything has a place?
Everything has to have a place. So if I'm out shopping and I need a thing, I'm like, where does this go?
Oh.
Before I buy this, where does this go?
Oh, you have a place already for it.
And if I can't think of a place, I'm probably not going to buy it.
Really?
I don't need it.
Wow. I did not know this about you.
Yeah,
Goof.
I'm a little tight. But then if you come to my house and it's messy, you know, like, ooh, she's been busy and not being an introvert. She's been like busy socializing.
What about papers and things? Do they have file systems?
I don't like them. I try to keep it to one drawer and I digitize everything.
Oh, what do you mean, scan?
Yeah.
Wow.
I have a little scanner app on my phone. Take a picture. Bye. Goodbye, paper. Goodbye.
Wow.
Because, like, really, I mean, I save all the years of tax returns and all the junk, but, like.
So every bill is all online. Everything's online.
All the bills are online. Yeah, I don't need that junk.
Are you a direct withdrawer?
What does that mean?
So I pay my bills online, yeah. But I do it every month. They don't automatically get
deducted. Yeah, I have the automatic thing.
Oh, my gosh. I can't keep track.
Well, but the problem is or the opportunity
there
the challenge is like when you don't work regular hours like you and I do. Work really strange schedules and we both have a couple of different
about
jobs
to get stranger.
Yep. So it's hard to remember stuff.
Oh yeah,
you know what I mean, because it's not like, okay, after work tonight I'm gonna go pay my electric bill. I just have to be like, what day is it?
Yeah, that's true. I'm like, where am I?
Especially this time of year when we work weird fill-in shifts.
Yeah.
You know, then it's kind of like my routine.
You're right. I should just have it. I should have it direct.
And they email you before.
They take it out?
Yeah.
They do?
Yeah. Like ComEd sends me a thing that says like, your bill is ready for viewing. And you click on it and you're like, I don't have that much. I need to go get that.
Okay. So they'll do that.
They'll tell you before they just take it. And then you got like, you know, it's usually like a business day or two before.
See, back in the day when I did that, they did not warn you. And I had like $3 in my checking. So it'd be like, your bill did not go through. Your bill did not. And then I was like, okay. So I think the bottom line is to get my finances in order.
Sure. Back to your vision
board. Back to my abundance vision board. Yeah. Getting things in order. And actually, I've gotten better at it.
Okay.
This year, actually.
And so like money and abundance is your big thing.
Money,
for
abundance in all areas. Yeah. So health. You know, so just living a healthier, abundant lifestyle.
You've already got the love part on lockdown.
Love's on lockdown.
Yeah. That guy's great.
Yeah, he's great. It's more finance and, you know, they usually say romance and finance are the two big challenges.
I think they're challenging and I think they produce a lot of grief and angst when you don't have those parts sorted out.
Yeah, a lot of anxiety goes on. So, but mine is more financial abundance and physical health. Like, you know, I want to start running. I've been talking about that for a while. I can do a little bit, but I would like to be able to increase my endurance.
Okay.
So that's sort of an abundance, like longer runs, more full runs.
Sure.
So I want to do that. What about you? Do you have a...
I don't do like resolutions per se. I'll just say this year I'm focusing on blank.
Okay.
You know?
Okay.
So kind of just two, maybe a third. I mean, there's a couple of projects that are like, they got to be finished this year, I've decided. But kind of the less work-related things... I really want to up my yoga game.
Okay.
I think I might pursue teacher training, not necessarily because I want to be a yoga teacher, but I just think it'll make my own yoga practice better.
Sure.
And more knowledgeable to have like the science behind it, you know, connected in that way. So that's one. And then I would really, I have traveled a lot in my life and I've done a lot of things, but I have never been to Paris and I really want to do that.
Oh.
And I think that I would like to give myself that for my birthday this year. So my birthday's in April.
Okay.
So If the boss is listening, I'd like to go ahead and ask for that time off. That'd be great.
Great.
Also, I do not have the money to go to Paris right now, so I'm just putting it out there that, like,
well, that could be putting it out there for the
right,
new year.
Right. Who knows? But you know what? Like, my trip to South Africa was because I had the opportunity to teach there.
That's
for a little bit.
So you never know what's going to come up.
And that was, you know, they took care of the ticket and the hotel and everything.
Really?
Oh, yeah. They sent me there to teach there.
I did not know that.
Yeah. So I got to go, and that was, so you never know what
and
kind of weird stuff.
You got to go to the evening shelf.
What?
What was it called on the mountain? The shelf of dining room shelf? That one?
Table Mountain.
There you go.
The evening shelf. I was like, what in
Table
the...
Mountain.
Table Mountain, which
beautiful.
Is the most beautiful thing I've yeah. ever beheld
like
with my
own
eyes.
Above the clouds.
Oh, you're way above the clouds. Like, you're looking down, watching the clouds roll in. Because the weather in Cape Town is like San Francisco.
Okay.
So you're like watching the clouds from at least a Sears Tower above. I mean, you're way up there looking at them. It's very beautiful.
So you'd like to go to, but you'd like to go to Paris.
I would love to go to Paris. And I would like to, like, rent an apartment for the week or, you know, like an Airbnb
sure.
or something so I can have a very authentic experience. And I would just, nothing would make me happier than to just, like, wander around and just, like, sit in a cafe. I don't need it to be fancy.
Yeah.
I want it to be quite simple, actually. I just want to, like, wander, get lost in bookstores, wander, look at stuff, eat
that
a lot of
fantastic.
Delicious things.
That sounds like the making of some kind of movie.
I know.
Goof in Paris. And, like, you just wander
around. A goof
around.
In Paris.
Yeah. You meet cool people.
Right. My French is marginal.
Oh, it is?
Marginal.
I don't even, yeah.
My French was really good when I was a kid, and now I haven't used it in a minute.
Do you have French people in your family?
Our people are Alsatian.
Oh, that's
right. The French-German border there.
That's right.
Yeah. So it was, but it's a different, it sounds like a different French. It's because it's mixed with German.
Okay.
It's like Spanglish.
Right.
It's like that,
yeah.
But of French and German together. So
right.
Like French speakers will say it sounds like French with a cold, and German people will say it sounds like German drunk.
Oh,
I don't think
basically
it's either.
It sounds crazy. It's crazy
bit.
Talk.
That's my people, the Alsatians. Yeah. Anyway, so we're going to take a break. Amy Guth, Jen Bosworth, in for John Williams. Back in just a bit here on 720 WGN.
Aww.
720 WGN. It's Amy Guth and Jen Bosworth. We were just talking about things we really want to do in the year ahead. And I mentioned that I really finally want to get my butt to Paris.
Yeah, and then our esteemed producer Camille had that nice
bump. Had that beautiful song on.
Yeah. That's beautiful. So, Guth...
Yes, ma'am.
Here's the thing. People like to partake in alcohol over the holidays.
People like to drink all the time.
And people like
especially
to,
around the holidays.
And a lot of hotels. People go to hotels and they drink and have a good time. And the problem is...
Because they're like in vacation mode.
They're in vacation mode. The problem is, I was reading an article in the Huffington Post. And here's the problem. Housekeepers and specifically women... Housekeepers and women in the hospitality have one of the highest rates of being harassed and assaulted.
Does that include like in all
restaurants?
Yeah.
Say
that
so all areas.
Because
right?
Yep, there's a bunch.
It's hard.
Yeah.
I've worked.
You
at
and
a,
I have both been yeah. servers. Yeah.
And it is up. Not, it is a whole, it can be really scary. And it's really, you know, a lot of people, for me, a lot of times it goes hand in hand with people drinking.
Sure. Oh,
you know,
yeah.
Because
yeah.
people start. So anyway, there's this proposal that would give housekeepers in hotels and men and women
yeah.
panic buttons.
That seems reasonable.
Don't you think that seems reasonable?
Like the I've fallen and I can't get up thing.
Right. Because you're alone in a room that's locked.
Sure.
And someone could be in there.
And they could be drunk.
And they could be drunk and they could be out of control.
Although usually it's like housekeeping and
right.
they're like, go away,
right.
come back later.
That's true. That's true, but they can let people in.
Sure. If
when
you're
not...
some kind of predator.
So
sure.
here's the thing. You think that's a good idea. Like, so these people would have buttons that would immediately notify both the hotel front desk.
At the very least,
and security.
I'm uncomfortable. This guest might be weird.
Exactly.
I don't see the downside of that.
Well, but it's been, Chicago has agreed to do it. They're going to give
all
it a
right.
trial. California has not agreed. They voted down this ordinance.
What's their reasoning?
Measure 124. Their reasoning is this. They they think that guests are going to complain about being harassed with false claims that they're being bad to the housekeepers. Seriously. It says, primarily over privacy, hotel groups are suing to stop the measure 124 from going into effect, primarily over privacy concerns for guests accused of harassment. So basically what we're saying is our housekeepers and people, men and women in hospitality, are not worth protecting. That's terrible.
Well, yeah, we're saying the potential for a false claim
is
more important.
Important
to protect than someone's actual.
Because it's money. I mean,
I understand their point.
I do.
I understand
you don't
their point.
Because I think the privacy meaning.
But my thought, right.
Naming names. Is that what that means?
I just don't. Like, here's the thing. If you've got a button that and you press it and that makes your boss get notified that, hey, I'm a little uncomfortable up here in this room on the 50th floor. At the very least, that just means maybe just be cool. Another person shows up and helps them finish off that room.
Exactly. You don't have to do it like, stop.
Doesn't have to be a SWAT team.
Right.
It could just prevent someone from being assaulted.
The thing is, I think it's the least we can do to protect people that are in professions that they come into intimate contact with other people and their belongings and things like that. It's the least we can do. So it just over the holidays, I guess for me, the message is like people drink, people do stuff, protect yourself. And it would be great if we could help other people protect themselves.
And it's like if you had a button and you press the alarm, like, okay, things are getting weird up here in this room.
Yeah.
And it's a false claim.
So what?
So what?
Right. No
that
harm.
Means your coworker or the manager
like the
is going to come up.
Right. Is going to come in.
Someone else will come up and check it out. And if nothing's going on, nothing's going on. If you have nothing to hide, what's the problem?
That's the thing. And I think that people are scared about, you know, these sort of expensive hotel people paying expensive prices that are sort of fancy people getting upset because I've had.
You don't get extra rights because you're fancier.
Well, that's the thing.
And I mean, on paper,
that's what they're saying.
You don't get extra privileges because you have wealth.
Right.
But we all know that people do all the time. People in power abuse that all the time.
Exactly. So I just
and I don't begrudge anyone their success or wealth. Like
do what you need to do.
Your money. Just when the power is abused, you have to be as accountable as the rest of us.
Exactly. And I think that's you know I just would like I know that people in the hospitality industry work super super hard and it's a hard we you know and I've been there and it's a hard work and it'd be great to have someone who has your back.
Yeah, and especially that setting where someone's like
hotels
in a hotel room, the door is shut. It's
a small confined space usually, and you can't get out. There's one way to get out.
There's only one way to get out. Yeah, that's a tricky. I think I don't see the problem.
The downside.
I don't see the downside of having an option, because you can't unring a bell.
Nope.
You know what I mean? Like
right.
if a housekeeper's in there and gets maybe sexually assaulted, you can't
undo that. No, you can't really. So it's better to have a false alarm than it is to have an assault.
Absolutely.
Which is what I'm thinking.
Yeah.
But this is really interesting.
The rest of the hospitality world, that's just the culture shift that's needed. And you're right.
Oh,
Like you and I have both waited tables in our lives. And I remember, I used to wait tables. I've waited tables many places. But about 15 or 16 years ago, I worked at a place near Wrigley Field. And I'm a Sox fan. But it's just where I was living. I was like, that's handy. They're looking for people. I need a job. Great.
Exactly.
So I was working. It was a lovely place. Like the management was great. But after a game,
I mean, people are wasted.
Yeah. People would come in to sober up. They wanted food to sober up. So they were so drunk. And I remember one time we were out of something. It was a very popular appetizer. And I was like, I'm sorry, sir. You know, I gave him the menus even. And I said, just so you know, we're out of whatever.
Right.
And I came back and he was like, I want an order of the very thing I told him we were out of. And I said, sorry. You know, we're out of that. The girlfriend with him said, yeah, she just said that. And he was mad at her, but he took it out on me. And he like grabbed my arm and pulled like, you know, when you're like, play uncle with a kid and he like pulled it behind my back and he was just like, I'm like,
this is not okay.
You're angry over a shrimp appetizer, dude.
Yeah.
Like you're going to grab my, you know, luckily the manager came right over. He's like, dude, you're out. You're done.
I mean,
you're done here.
It's like, let's take care of each other is the bottom. Like let's take care of each other over this holiday season. That's what I would say. Jen B says, let's take care of each other.
Well, that's all the time. So, I mean, if let's go back to this this housekeeping hotel thing for a minute. At the very least, I hope that housekeepers in California at least don't have to enter a room by themselves.
No, I think they do.
See,
that's a thing. I don't think anything's going to change.
Either you give me a panic button or a buddy.
No, mostly they're alone. I mean, I think normally someone else is on the floor, you
know? And like you get the east rooms, I'll get all the west ones.
They won't be able to hear you if you're at least have a cell phone. That, you know, because a lot of places you can't have your cell phone at work. You have to lock up your cell phone.
Yeah, sure.
So anyway, I just thought that was real scary and I didn't like it.
If radio doesn't work out for us and we become housekeepers, we're going to have a system.
We will. We'll be buddies. And I'll be like, Goof. I'll call you. Well, you'll be the president of the United States, so I doubt. And I'll be chief of security, so I doubt we'll be doing that. But we could. You never know.
You never know where life
things
can take
change.
You. Indeed. Well, it has been a pleasure as always.
Always. We're back. We're back soon.
We're back in like a week.
A week. We're doing, we're filling in for Patty.
Yeah, late nights.
Late nights.
We'll be back at 11 p.m. or so, something like that.
Yes, indeed.
All right, so we're going to take a break, get you to news, all that good stuff back in just a bit here on 720 WGN.